Good morning. Welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church of Westerville. If you are visiting with us this morning, let me do some introductions. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan, and I will be leading worship today. I'll be assisted by Janet Withers, and Lynn Meyer, our organist, is providing the music. If you are worshiping with us in the sanctuary, I invite you to fill out a welcome card and leave it in one of the offering plates that are at the back here of the front part of the sanctuary. If you are visiting with us through our live stream, you are invited to leave a message on Facebook. And if anyone would like to learn more about our congregation, you can call the church office at 614-882-3155. For those of you here in the sanctuary, the session encourages you to follow the CDC guidelines concerning the pandemic, and wearing of masks in indoor venues is strongly encouraged, and so we are thankful for doing what we can to stop the spread of the virus. I have a few announcements to share, and first, many of you have already heard, but I have the sad news to share that one of our beloved members, Connie Ackerman, has died. Funeral arrangements have not been made yet, but when they are, I will share them with the community. It's probably very poignant this morning to acknowledge that the flowers that they signed up for weeks ago are given by Connie and Marion Ackerman in honor of their 57th wedding anniversary. Tonight at 7 p.m., we will have our Blessing of the Animals service out on our church lawn. You can bring your pet dog, your pet cat, your pet chicken, your pet iguana. All we ask that you have them leashed or caged. And if your pet doesn't travel well, you are welcome to bring a picture of your pet for the blessing. And, of course, you are welcome to come even if you do not have any pets. You can just enjoy everyone else's pet and watch them go home with their pets. So. The Westerville Habitat Partnership is holding another of their wall builds this summer, and that will take place next Saturday, August 21st. And any of you that can help with that, your help would be greatly appreciated. Diana can give you more information if you need more. The church golf outing will be on Sunday, August 28th, and you can register for this event in the sign-up book that's in our gathering area or by calling the church office. And you can see Lane Huff, who's in the back, and he's waving his hands there. Oh, did I say Sunday? Yeah. No golfing on Sunday. So... Saturday the 28th, thank you. I guess it shows where I want to be, right? So you can mark your calendars as well for another church outing, and that's our annual canoe outing. It'll be on Saturday, September 18th, and there'll be more information in the upcoming Advocate. Just a note, I will be on vacation next Sunday, and the Reverend Rebecca Tollefson will be our guest preacher. Reverend Tollefson is now retired, but she was the head of the Ohio Council of Churches here in centered here in Columbus, and she's former moderator of the Presbytery of Souda Valley and a good friend and colleague in ministry. And I'm happy to have her bring the good news to us next week. Now let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude.
Welcome to First Presbyterian. Please join in the call to worship. Something awakened us this morning, perhaps the day's dawning light streaming through a window, perhaps an alarm beeping on the nightstand, perhaps the sounds of the rest of the household waking up. Something moved us this morning. We left behind the hot cup of coffee. We left behind the morning newspaper. We left behind the yard work and the chores.
We came here to this place to worship the one who moves among us.
May ours be a faith that is both awake and moving this morning as we worship and serve our God. In the prayer of confession. O God, deliver us from the burden of sin as we make our confession. Remove the scales from our eyes, for we overlook neighbors in need. Cleanse us of selfishness, which keeps us from serving them. Purge us of vanity, since we expect them to be grateful. Help us not to brood over the seeming ingratitude of some we serve. Restore us by Christ's redeeming sacrifice and purify our intentions. Make us fit for your service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Beloved people of God, believe the good news. Through the grace of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
I think Janet kept it.
We are going to have our specialty for children now.
Good morning to all of our young friends, especially those that we're seeing online. I know that many of you went back to school this week. And you probably went to school looking like this. I know I did. I'm going to take my mask off for right now so it's a little bit easier for you to hear. But if you went back to school this week, I hope you had a wonderful first week back. And if you're going back next week, I hope you have a fabulous beginning to school too. This morning, I want to talk to you about somebody very special. And her name is Mrs. Ackerman. And as Pastor Mark told us at the beginning of the service, Mrs. Ackerman died this week, but she was a very, very special person. She was a mom. She was a wife to Mr. Ackerman for many, many, many years. In fact, these flowers are honoring their wedding anniversary. And she was a very special grandma to her two granddaughters. But to us at church, she was also a very special friend. And Mrs. Ackerman was the kind of person that helped people all the time. In fact, for many years, she helped a man named Mr. Arrowsmith, who had had polio. She helped him to get to church every week so he could be part of our church community. And if somebody died and we were having a funeral at church, Mrs. Ackerman was the person who organized the meal. She would always make sure that our fellowship hall looked very, very nice for the family, and she would call people to ask them to bring food, and she would make special dishes that she would bring, and you would see her, and she'd be getting the downstairs looking very, very nice for the family and making sure all the food was there for them. So she was a very special person that did very, very nice things for very, very many people. And she was also a very good listener. In fact, she had listened and she knew that Pastor Mark and I had taken a trip to see some lighthouses, because we love to see lighthouses when we're traveling. And she knew that we had gone to see some lighthouses a couple summers ago. And so last summer when we were worshiping outside, she said, "I have something for you. When the service is over, come over to my car." And she handed me a big box. And I thought, "What is this?" And I said, "Connie, what is this?" And she said, "Well, open it up." And I opened it, and this beautiful lighthouse was inside. And it's actually a lighthouse that sits in my garden, in my front yard. And what's special about this lighthouse is that it's solar powered. So during the day, it absorbs the sunlight, and then at nighttime, it's a bright light. And when Pastor Mark told me on Thursday that Mrs. Ackerman had died, I was very, very sad, because she was such a nice, nice person and such a good friend. And I immediately thought of my lighthouse. And I thought, you know, that lighthouse is just like Connie was. Because Connie came to church and she learned all about God and she learned all about God's love. And then she shared that with all those other people. In fact, it reminds me of a verse in the Bible in the Matthew 5:16 that says, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." And so I kind of decided, you know, every day when I leave for work, this is sitting in my front garden, and I'll see it as I'm pulling out of my driveway, and I'm going to try and be like Connie. I'm going to make sure during the day that I am showing kindness to other people and that I am sharing God's love. And so, boys and girls, I'm going to challenge all of you this week to find a way that you can be like Connie this week. If there's somebody who is scared at school and they need a new friend, you could talk to them. Or if there's somebody that needs somebody to listen, you could talk to them. And Mrs. Ackerman was a teacher for many, 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 many years. And so she knows what it's like when you're starting back to school and things might be a little bit scary. So look around and see if you can help somebody this week and be like Connie. Let's say a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you for sending people like Mrs. Ackerman into our lives, and we ask you to surround her family with your love this week because we know they are missing her very, very much, as all of us are. And we ask you to help us to find ways this week that we can be like Connie and show your love to everyone we meet. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm going to just leave this up here this week or today so we can all be thinking of Connie this morning.
Our scripture this morning is from Proverbs 9, 1 through 6. A number of years ago, I was in Bible study and we studied this particular passage. And in my own Bible, I wrote the choice. So listen and see if you think there is a choice here. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals. She has mixed her wine. And she has also set her table. She has sent out her servant girls. She calls from the highest places in the town. You that are simple, turn in here. To those without sense, she says, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. Amen.
Thank you, Janet. We have two scriptures this morning, the one from Proverbs and then this one from the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, beginning at the 51st verse. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me and will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. Here ends our gospel lesson. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the words of your Holy Scripture, and as we ponder them this morning, we need the wisdom of your Holy Spirit to guide us in my words and our thoughts this morning. Amen. It's funny how one associates certain foods with certain people. Even today, if someone mentions strawberry shortcake, I think of my grandmother, who always made strawberry shortcake just for me. At least that's what she told me when I came to visit. Mention caramel brownies, and I think of my sister, who made those brownies for church youth group outings when she was a teenager. I always had to, as an advisor for my younger sister, I always had to grab one of those brownies before they got devoured by everyone else. I associate spaghetti with my mother, who used to make spaghetti with a special meat sauce on my birthday. And if you mention blueberry pancakes, they remind me of my father, because he would make them when we went on camping trips. For the past several weeks, I have been plowing through the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, which is sometimes called the Bread of Life chapter, because that is where we find that quote of Jesus. The central theme of this chapter is bread. and the association of bread with Jesus. And nowhere in this chapter is this association more direct than the section that I just read this morning. And I will admit that I have never, in all my years of preaching, preached on this particular passage. In fact, every time it comes up in the lectionary cycle, I run to one of the other passages from the lectionary, or I'll just skip the lectionary altogether on this particular Sunday. And I'll bet I'm not the only preacher to tiptoe away from this one. One of the commentators on this passage actually wrote, "If it were me, I'd preach on one of the other passages listed for this Sunday." This is a guy who is supposed to be helping us preachers prepare our sermons. And yet, it is most certainly part of Holy Scripture. And it is small wonder that preachers find this passage difficult. Just reading it out loud caused me to cringe a minute ago, and maybe it caused you the same thing. "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Okay, I just get all kind of like this when I read that. I even consulted the Greek words behind that passage just to see if the translation was correct. Unfortunately, it was. But I'm not the only one with a problem with Jesus' words here. The Jews that were listening to him had similar problems, as John tells us, for they say, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" They seem just as put off, just as confused as I do. Of course, Jesus is speaking in metaphor, something he often does, particularly as recorded in the Gospel of John. Think back to the beginning of the Gospel where John writes, "In the beginning was the Word," a metaphor about who Jesus was, and goes on to say, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." It is clear that John is making a connection with the Lord's Supper in this sixth chapter. "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. Take, eat." You can hear echoes of that in what I read from the sixth chapter of John. What is interesting is that John does not actually record the Lord's Supper in his gospel, which is kind of strange when you think of it, how important the Lord's Supper is to the church through all these years, and yet John leaves it out. But his gospel was written long after Matthew, Mark, and Luke, who all recorded the details of the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper. And so by the time John wrote, the practice and the history of the Lord's Supper was well known and well established. And so instead of recounting the Lord's Supper, which he must have figured everybody knew, he makes sure that we understand what it means by recording these words of Jesus in our passage this morning. "Just as the Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me." You know, eating is a very personal act, and even an intimate act. And Jesus is inviting his listeners into a true intimacy with him. Those of us who have been conditioned to think through cool, detached, distant, and dispassionate consideration may find it strange to be told that we are to think about the Word made flesh, that we are to listen to these words that speak of ingestion, consumption, and point to a deep engagement. The metaphor reminds me of Paul's claim in Galatians where he says, "No longer I, but Christ who lives in me." The old adage, "You are what you eat." Jesus is presenting that front and center. The great preacher and biblical scholar William Willimon wrote, There is no knowing who the Christ is without visceral, total engagement. We will not be able to comprehend him by sitting back, comfortable in the pew, and coolly considering him as if he were an abstract, disembodied idea. Jesus is telling his listeners he's more than an idea. And he's inviting his listeners to fully engage him as fully as one would engage their evening meal. Eating, consuming, engaging, literally making Jesus part of you. That is the challenge Jesus throws in front of us. He says in verse 56, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them." Abide is a big word in the Gospel of John. He uses it over and over. And the Greek word behind it is much richer than our English translation of it. The word meno has connotations that mean to stay, to stand fast, to remain in a lasting way. Listen to how the verse sounds when translated with the word stand fast in place of abide, where it says, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood stand fast in me and I in them." What a powerful thought. That we stand fast against the world in Christ, and Christ stands fast in us. The closer our connection with Jesus, the deeper our faith becomes. It seems like a rather simple truth, but there is part of us that would hold Jesus' arm's length. We are willing to listen to what he says, but to make his teachings part of who we are is something more. Something where we pick and choose and decide this one's okay and I'm not so sure about that one. We are willing to say that we love Jesus, but to fully embrace him and his claim on our life, that is something that we are very ginger about. We are willing to meet Jesus at the table, willing to listen to what he says, but to make him the meal is beyond our sensibilities. And yet this is exactly what Jesus is asking to do, to fully engage him with our whole selves. Wouldn't the Christian faith be easier if it were a matter of mere belief or intellectual assent? But Jesus intends to have all of us, body, mind, and soul. This truth wants to burrow deep within us, to consume us and as we consume Jesus, to flow through our veins and to nourish our innermost being. Another way of looking at this is that Jesus is reminding us in powerful metaphorical language that our faith is not a spectator sport. We are not watching Jesus on our televisions like we were watching the Olympics a week ago. We are not even in the stands. We are out on the field. We are the ones running the race, kicking the ball, clearing the hurdles. We are the ones who make faith a living faith through our total engagement with Jesus, with our living the life Jesus taught us to live each and every moment of each and every day. An Oxford theology professor once said that his toughest task for his students was for them to answer the question, "What is theology about?" He said that his students tended to respond that theology is about spiritual matters, or it's about religion, or it's about the deeper meaning of life. But this professor instructed them that theology is about everything. And that is exactly what Jesus is telling us here in the sixth chapter of John. Following Jesus is about everything. Just as we cannot live without our food, we cannot live without Jesus. As much as we would like to compartmentalize our life, work on Monday, relax on Saturday, church on Sunday, Jesus, it is all one and the same. How we work on Monday is intimately connected with our faith, just as how we relax on Saturday is just as intimately connected with our faith, just as the time in church on Sunday is intimately connected with our faith. And our time in church on Sunday is about our work on Monday. It's about our relaxing on Saturday. It all weaves together. They all belong to Jesus, and every meal we eat is a reminder of this. Jesus has come down from heaven with the intention of taking us all back to him. And he wants all of us and all parts of us. And he wants us to have all of him. I purposely placed this sermon between our usual communion Sundays, because I wanted to emphasize that this intimate connection with Jesus is not limited to the communion meal. Jesus sits with us at every meal. The bread of heaven is part of each meal we eat, and even when there is no bread on the table, Jesus is telling us that he is available to us in this intimate, personal way, each and every moment of our lives. And this is the life Jesus calls us to. And if we are willing to enter into this life, we will discover how to live forever. Amen. Please be seated. We come now before God in prayer, and as we do, we lift up those from who are in particular need of prayer. And O Lord, hear our prayers. Almighty God, there is a long list of threats around us. A pandemic with the Delta variant. The possibility of a terrorist event, cancer, rising prices, mass shootings, loneliness, shame, death, the list goes on, and we know it well. And in the midst of threat of every kind, you appear among us in your full power, in your deep fidelity, in your amazing compassion, and you speak among us the one word that could matter: do not fear. And we, in our several fearfulnesses, are jarred by your utterance. On a good day, we know that your sovereign word is true. So give us good days by your rule, free enough to rejoice, open enough to change, trusting enough to move out of new obedience, graced enough to be forgiven and then to forgive. Lord God, we have lifted up to you this morning some of our fears, some of our worries, some of our doubts. In your mercy, take our prayers this morning and fashion them into hope. Make us ever ready to see the power of your love in our lives and in our world. Reassure us once again that all things are in your hands and that your love cannot be defeated. We live by your word, O God. Speak it to us in all moments, but especially in our moments of darkness, that our path may be lighted and our way directed. We pray this all in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from glory. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, please rise for the benediction. Go now in peace, and may you engage the living Christ each and every day, and may you know that the living Christ lives in you and through you, so that the world may come to know. Go now with the love of God in your hearts. Amen.